By the way, there's a bit of sports news with this song from this week. It's not great news, but it's news because Disturbed, which is the group, and the song is called Down With The Sickness. Disturbed, it's my intro song, just driving with the drum beat and everything like this. You can just let this play because I got a story about it. Pump this up, Noel, if y'all you want. All right, so they're playing, right, at the United Center, 17,000 people in Chicago, all, you know, headbanging, that I would be to this song. And they got pyrotechnics going off, and the pyrotechnics are so hot, it burns the bottom of the six Chicago Bulls championship banners that are hanging in the rafters. Oh, my God, no. No, no. Oh, no. No. Yeah, we got to take all the championship banners down because, oh, no. The pyrotechnics on the stage of the Disturbed concert burned the bottom. Oh, my God. No. There's an insurance company going, what? Because you can't, I don't know, maybe they can, maybe they can fix them or repair them. But, you know, and I know that it's not that big a deal. You can replace them, but they're not the originals. And you know what? The originals were hung in a ceremony. They're like, you know, anointed with some kind of like NBA basketball holy oil. You know what I mean? I mean, those are the originals. You don't want like copycats. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. It's like somebody like, did we not have a rehearsal here? And when they're shooting off the pirate day, hey, wait a minute now. Yo, Bob. Check out, we're a little too close to the, you know, because if you're burning the Blackhawks banners, which, very many Blackhawks banners, anyway, it's probably like, yeah, okay, Blackhawks. But no, those six Michael Jordan banners, you don't want to burn those. And they were like, well, at least the Eastern Conference banners, which were on the side, and the division banners, they didn't get, like, anybody cares about your Eastern Conference or division banners. Anyway. So, I was like, okay, there's a song that I open with just because it's head banging and it's driving, and it happened to be big sports news this week. I wish I had been at the concert because I would have been able to see, well, not only see Disturbed, but also to be able to see the banners. Oh, man. Well, welcome to it. 10 to 2 today with John Fricke live on Sports Radio 99 The Game. You all know the drill. You know, this is one of those things where I would ask the producers, you know, do I need to give the phone number? They go, yes, you need to give the phone number out because there may be somebody that doesn't know it or is listening for the first time. And you go, oh, okay, I'll give the phone number out. And of course, the boss is always like, you have to give the phone number out once an hour. And matter of fact, my bosses would say, you've got it. It's called time and temperature. It's old school radio. It's currently 10:06 a.m. in Atlanta, and the temperature is 73 degrees. I mean, yeah, and then it's 10:08 on Z93 or whatever the hell, Dave FM, whatever the hell this station used to be. And they were like, you've got to reset the time and the temperature all the time. Okay. So, and bosses who would say, you've got to give out the phone number all the time. I'm like, we've only said it about 19 million times. If you really want it on the air, put it in the open. You know, I don't have it open. Never mind. They didn't bother to get it open for me. Oh, okay. I see where I stand. 404-726. I'm joking, as far as you know. 404-726-0929. All right, I'll say it slow for Ackworth. 404-726-0929. Okay? Everybody got it? Okay. 404-726-0929. You know, you got to say things seven times. I know it's an old thing in commercials. You have to say the name of something seven times for people to remember it. I'm not going to do that to you. Okay, I may over the course of the show, but I'm not going to do it to you now. We got a lot to talk about here. Not the least of which is burning Michael Jordan's banners during a concert. Big day of basketball. We have a doubleheader tonight. Big East final between Creighton and St. John's. What a job Rick Pitino has done at St. John's. Now, I don't know if he's coach of the year. It's like him or Pat Kelsey at Louisville. One of the two. I mean, the Johnnies are suddenly like, what? You're like, what, 29-4 or whatever they are? So Creighton and St. John's, that's 6:15, and that'll be followed by the Conference USA Championship game, both back-to-back live on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Conference USA Championship game. Jacksonville State's Gamecocks against Liberty. And it was almost Kennesaw State. Almost. And it's such a, because they only lost by, they were ahead at halftime. They had the Liberty Flames kind of in their sights. They lost by two. If they had beaten Liberty, it would have not only been an upset, but they just beat Jacksonville State in Jacksonville, Alabama, to end the regular season. And Kennesaw State might have been dancing. Owls, you know. So anyway, Creighton St. John's 6:15, Jacksonville State Liberty following that. And of course, tomorrow is Selection Sunday. One of the great, and there are a lot of, you know, everybody gets all excited about Selection Sunday. So we're going to talk a little bit about that in just a few minutes with our college basketball insider. Deshaun Tate is going to join us and give us his thoughts. We'll talk about some of the movements here. Like, for example, yesterday in college basketball, one of the things that happened was Fran McCaffrey got fired as the head coach at Iowa. Now, Iowa missed the tournament for the second year in a row, so that's one reason to fire him, but I don't think that's the real reason they fired him. No, it's nothing untoward for McCaffrey. Okay? I think the real reason they fired him is because of the head coach at Drake. The head coach at Drake is 30-3, and Drake, for those of you who don't know, Drake is in Des Moines. And we're not talking about the singer, okay? We're talking about the Drake Bulldogs. They're in Des Moines, okay? About, I don't know, a couple hours from Iowa City. So, because there's three big teams in the state of Iowa. Iowa, Iowa State, and Drake. And Drake's got a really, you know, good, solid program. They've been, you know, been there before, you know, in recent times. But they've got a first-year head coach. His name is Ben McCollum. And McCollum, it was at a Division II school in Missouri, at Northwest Missouri State. And won national title after national title after national title, and they got he had such great success in Division II, Drake gave him the job. This is his first year at Drake. He's 30-3. He's an Iowa guy. Born, raised, went to the University of Iowa. He's an Iowa guy. Well, Indiana, which is getting rid of our old buddy from the Hawks, Mike Woodson, who may or may not have coached his last game with the Hoosiers, was hot on Ben McCollum to be their head coach. You know, they were flying planes over there to pick him up and all that kind of stuff, okay? And Iowa saw that and went, yeah, we really want Ben McCollum to be our coach, and he's an Iowa guy, so we'll fire our head coach to try to entice Ben McCollum to become our guy. So if there was an added incentive to move on from Fran McCaffrey, it was that Ben McCollum was probably going to go to Indiana. And they didn't want him to go to Indiana. They wanted him to stay in Iowa, which would, of course, if he does, then Indiana's like, oh, okay, now what do we do? Yeah, because everybody's been dropping out of the, you know, being up here in Indiana, you know, helping out our parents. Well, one thing I've learned about Indiana basketball, man, you think Georgia fans, football fans are demanding? Let me introduce you to Indiana basketball fans. It's a different level. I mean, think about this. They're shoving Mike Woodson out, okay? Mike Woodson is a legend in Indiana. He's a legendary Hoosier player. One of the 10 greatest Hoosier players of all time, beloved by fans, hadn't done anything wrong, took the team to the NCAA tournament in his first year, took the team to the NCAA tournament in his second year. They may be picked here in his third year. They may slide in as a play-in team tomorrow, and he will have made the NCAA tournament year after year after year, and they're still letting him go. They're still, well, the official word is he decided to retire. He retired under duress. Don't kid yourself, okay? Because it's like they want to move on. And so a lot of coaches are looking at this going, man, wait a second. You got a legend, and he comes in to take over a team that hadn't been under the previous coach, Archie Miller, hadn't been nothing. And he takes him to the NCAA tournament, and he takes him again, and he might take him a third time, and you say, yeah, we don't want you. What is that? Oh, no. We'll see. If you're a Clemson fan, Brad Brunell is like the betting thing up here. He wouldn't leave Clemson to go to Indiana. Money talks, champ. And Indiana, when it comes to basketball, has got a lot of money. So we'll see. The other guy name is Greg McDermott at Creighton. But Greg McDermott's like my age. I'm like, do you really want somebody, you know, in mid-60s? But, look at what Rick Pitino's done. How old's Rick Pitino? I mean, he goes to St. John's in 1 year. I mean, he manages to, you know, stay out of any Italian restaurants, and which is hard because St. John's, you know, there's a lot of Italian restaurants up there, even more so than Kentucky. And so he's up there You know, if he doesn't have that kind of weird thing in his, well, it's not really weird, it was gross, but, you know, what has he done as a coach? A lot. Okay? So we'll see how this all kind of plays out. Hawks last night had the worst quarter I've ever seen the Hawks play. Oh, my God. Why, when you come out of halftime, do you not bring your team? Oh, good Lord. What was it? 35-8? 35-8. It was an NBA quarter. 35-8. Okay. And that's all I got to say about that. Falcons, of course, we're going to get into that today. You know, have they fixed this? Have they failed so far? A lot of depth moves. I'm trying to weave my way and wrap my brain around exactly where they're heading, Flowery Branch here. I know they're not done yet, but we'll get into all of that a little bit later in the program here as we move towards the deadline tomorrow night, midnight. Okay? Deadline is tomorrow night at midnight to write an 8-figure check to a guy that's not going to play. Okay? And then, of course, all the tournaments, too. So, but if you want to weigh in on United with Messi coming into town tomorrow, whether he plays, I don't know. Don't ask me. Nobody knows. Will he see the field? He'll be out there. Will he actually, he doesn't like playing on turf. We all understand this. It's like, you know, one of those things where, oh, I don't really want to play. Well, you know, you're kind of the star attraction. If you give us 10 minutes at the end of the game, yeah. You know, or maybe he starts. I have no clue. And we'll have that. And the Braves, of course, we're knocking down on under 2 weeks to opening day for the Atlanta Braves. Now, today, you've got the ACC championship game between Louisville, and that's Pat Kelsey, and Duke. By the way, John Schreier has done a pretty good job considering, you know, Cooper Flagg is out, Brown was out, and then Cooper Flagg obviously not going to play in the rest of the tournament. And still he's managed to wind his way here to the championship game, you know, with a comeback against Georgia Tech and then beating North Carolina. So pretty good on Duke here. One of the reasons they're Duke. Semifinals of the SEC tournament are just whack. I mean, the Final Four won't be as good in terms of quality as the semifinals of the SEC tournament. They just won't be. Because you got Tennessee and Auburn at 1, and you got Bama and Florida at 3:30. That will be better from a four-team standpoint than the Final Four. I can 100% guarantee you. All right, Deshaun Tate is our college basketball insider. He's going to join us next. We'll get his thoughts on all this as we continue on this Saturday morning with John Fricke on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Sports Radio 90 tonight in the Game. We are playing basketball tonight. Big East Championship 6:15, Creighton and St. John's, followed by a Conference USA title game, Jacksonville State and Liberty. For Jacksonville State and Liberty. Liberty, you know, that Conference USA, if Jacksonville State wins, they might get two teams in because Liberty might be in win or lose. And that's a bit thief right there. If you're Georgia, you're kind of rooting for, well, maybe Georgia's in. If you're a bubble team, you're sort of rooting for Liberty to win. Anyway, we'll get into the mid-majors and all that kind of good stuff, too. And Creighton and St. John's, the Big East, are both in, obviously. And doesn't really matter. It's just a seeding thing. We'll get into all that with Selection Sunday coming up tomorrow. Welcome into the program and back onto the air, our college basketball insider, Deshaun Tate, who has all the inside skinny. And, of course, I'm going to get all the kind of Tate's takes on you know, mid-majors and all these kind of things, what is going to happen in this tournament, what's going to happen tomorrow, and all that kind of good stuff. Tate, what is shaking, brother?
Man, trick question again. I was just telling your producer, you asked me how I was doing. I was like, man, is that a trick question? Trick question again. No, I'm great. Appreciate you for having me, John. Listen, man, we got a little over 24 hours until we're able. I tell people all the time, because I know especially on this program and in this market, everybody loves their football. I never forget that Sundays were made for selection. So it's Christmas Day tomorrow. We're going to get everything going and really excited to see whose names are going to get called. And, of course, there's always those teams who always feel like they're, you know, right there deserving to be in, but on the bubble, unfortunately, wrong side of it.
Yeah, and so the bubble teams are all sweating. Yeah, you know, a game like, because like, is Liberty in? If they lose, they may be. I mean, they've had such a great regular season. be hard to keep them out. I mean, but they could, I guess. So we have two finals today that I wanted to just touch on. One on the station, Creighton and St. John's. And then the ACC final, Louisville and Duke. And if you look at these two great stories of record, I mean, the Creighton's in the Big East final is no shock. Duke's in the ACC final is no shock. Given, I mean, we could talk about Cooper Flagg, but they are Creighton, they are Duke. That Louisville is back and that St. John's are back in such fast and dramatic fashion in 1 year turnarounds for Pat Kelsey at Louisville and Rick Pitino at St. John's. I don't know which Tate is more impressive.
Yeah, I know, right? I think especially because of what Pat Kelsey has been able to do at Louisville in such a short time. I mean, we're talking about six losses, and we've seen Chris Mack and one or two other coaches come up through there and haven't been able to necessarily change the culture. And we understand what all that they went through at that time with Brian Bowen and all that other stuff. But, you know, when you're looking at Louisville, they've kind of gone back to the way that they used to play a little bit with, you know, hard-nosed defense, obviously, and you know, I think it definitely does help in some ways that, you know, the ACC has been more of a down conference in comparison to other years. But a big reason as to why that is somebody like a Chucky Hepburn, who's obviously a transfer, but doing a really good job over there scoring the basketball. And they're just playing. They're being, to me, if I'm just being really transparent, like they're a very physical team. I think that was, in some cases, not necessarily as much the talent all the time, why they weren't as successful prior to this year. But I think that they've been able to develop and establish a chemistry and camaraderie amongst one another and put some guys on the floor that maybe not most talented teams around the country, but guys that just play very well together. And when you put, you know, Pat Kelsey with that, which I'm not, hey, I'll be the first person to stand up and raise my hand in the air looking like an idiot out here. My neighbors are wondering what the heck is he doing. But, you know, I'll be the first person to say I didn't see Pat Kelsey not only necessarily just turning this around, but doing it as quickly as he has been able to. And you got to give them a lot of credit. St. John's, a little bit of a different situation than doing theirs with more so based off of the experience. Davon Smith, who's from Grayson High School here in the area, has been a really big part of that, a big contributor to that. RJ Lewis was up for Conference Player of the Year as well. And when you got somebody like a Rick Pitino, that's just somebody you can't count out. I would be even really interested to find out from you at some point, where does Rick, regardless of whatever he does this year or what have you, where does he rank amongst all-time best college basketball coach? Because I feel like he kind of gets, you know, shafted a little bit because we always talk about Coach K and Wooden and some of the others.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunately for him, you know, there's that
gray cloud.
Yeah, right. And what he did, you know, at every stop, he's sort of like Calipari. Everywhere he went, he won. So, yeah. He did great turnaround. You know, great turnaround at Kentucky. It was, people forget how big a turnaround that was. It was like the turnaround at St. John's. So, yeah, he's a great coach. I wanted to move on, if I could, Deshaun Tate, our college basketball insider. I mentioned at the beginning of the show that I don't care what the Final Four is. I seriously doubt that it's going to be as good a quality, the Final Four teams, as the SEC semifinals are. I mean, this is just insanity how great this semifinal today is.
It is, and listen, I mean, and it's number one, it's not necessarily what I expected, because I know typically around this time of the year before we start getting to the NCAA tournament, you start seeing some upsets and things of that nature, and I'm like, I'm not sure that one of the top three or four best teams in the SEC is going to win this whole thing, right? But now we're looking at the best four teams in it, which is what we want, which is what we need, which is what we expect, right, as viewers of the college basketball game. And so you get that, and I think that's the best thing that there is. Now, Tennessee obviously having a little bit of a home court advantage and definitely going to need some of that because they don't score it as well, not judging from yesterday's game, of course. Rick Barnes sometimes is one of those guys I think is a little bit vulnerable, can be out-coached. But Bruce Pearl is very much in that same conversation sometimes. So I think that'll be an interesting one if Tennessee is able to keep up with the way Auburn can score the basketball. And then when you start looking in that other game, talking about Florida and Alabama, I mean, Alabama's returning a lot of guys from Final Four run that was made on last year, and some people even think that possibly they have a little bit more talent, maybe not as good of a team as you've seen from the beginning to the end of this part of the season, but certainly living and dying by that three ball is something that's kind of, you know, that's kind of difficult to of a scheme to kind of, you know, system to live and die by on a regular basis. But Florida, you know, when you start looking at filling out these brackets, this should help some people. I call it the free space on the bingo card. You know, when you start talking about being successful and filling out those brackets with those teams in March, maybe they don't necessarily have the Hall of Fame coach that some of these other programs do. But when you start looking at the backcourt, when you start looking at Richard, and you start, you know, talking about some of these different guys that have to have that experience and success and go deep on the bench, that is the Florida Gators, and they're going to be playing for some. So I like Alabama to come out of there, though. They just, it's way too much high offensive firepower and high octane offense, perimeter shooting, things of that nature for somebody to beat them. Interesting if we see another rematch between the two Alabama schools.
Talking with Sean Tate, our college basketball insider. Also today, the Big Ten semifinals, Wisconsin, where Chucky Epern used to play. Boy, if they still had Chucky, right? Michigan State, and then Michigan against Maryland. And you can, you know, kind of give me, I know there are a lot of fans of the Big Ten in the area here. Your Spartans, you know, Michigan, Maryland, I think, is a toss-up game. Wisconsin is, you know, they're just kind of a thorny team here. How do you see this playing out in the Big Ten?
Yeah, Michigan's Wisconsin is typically a thorn over so many years in the side of Michigan State, just based off of the way that they play. You know, this is likely going to be a very defensive game, and I do overstand, rather, that, you know, Wisconsin does have quite a bit more offense than we're used to seeing them usually play with. But, you know, when you look at a guy like Tanjay, the way that he can score the basketball, and, you know, he does that against anybody and has done so against anybody in the Big Ten, I mean, that's going to be really tough to stop. Greg Gard is one of the more underrated or underappreciated coaches, not only in the Big Ten, but in the country. So I'm sure that he'll have his guys ready. And Michigan State has kind of gone back to the old Michigan State brand and way of playing basketball. They get out on the breaks real quick and quick outlet passes and beat you up, you know, on the backboards. They are one of the better teams in terms of defense and pace and guards and things of that nature, rebounds and so forth. So it'll be an interesting game, that's for sure. And you kind of anticipate that Michigan State is going to be there in the end to play up against what I think it will be a more intriguing game, certainly much easier to watch between Michigan and Maryland. Maryland being the team that I thought coming into the conference tournament was going to be the one that's going to win it. I just think that there's just too much up front with Derek Queen, one of the best freshmen that nobody talks about, you know, the, outside of the last name Flag, but you know, when you start talking about what Kevin Willard has been able to do, and nobody's really talking about that. And I think that that's actually a good thing for Maryland, that all the attention is on someone else and there's not nearly as much pressure. But that very interesting matchup between Vlad Goldin and pairing that with Danny Wolf going up against Queen and going up against Julian Reese. If you love a front court, you know, hard-nosed basketball, rebounding, big man, sometimes back up against the basket, you definitely got to keep an eye on that game, specifically Derek Queen. I can't imagine him not being, you know, one of the first names being called in the lottery for June's draft.
Talking with Deshaun Tate, he is our college basketball insider. Again, Big East final tonight, live on 90.10 The Game, Creighton and St. John's, followed by Jacksonville State and Liberty, Conference USA. When we talk about the Big Ten, and you say Wisconsin and Michigan State, Michigan and Maryland, when you talk about the SEC, Tennessee, Auburn, Bama, Florida, when you talk about a Louisville-Duke final in the ACC, when you talk about Creighton, St. John's in the Big East, when you talk about all these teams, you know, playing at such a high level, these are all teams, Deshaun, who are regular season SEC champions or conference champions, they're conference tournament champions. Almost all of them are Final Four teams or national title game teams or former national champions. Okay, so they're blue blood teams across the board, right? Now I want you to take a step back. I want to ask one quick question, and that is about Liberty. Is Liberty in, win, or lose? Well, they're in win, obviously, but are they in, win, or lose? Then I want to give you a list here. If you could answer that, and then you could say Liberty and then Drake, and then Memphis, and then, of course, Atlantic 10. Talking about mid-majors here, Virginia Commonwealth, George Mason, both have made the Final Four in the last decade. Akron, New Mexico, St. Mary's out of the West Coast. When you start looking at those mid-majors, you know one of them, however it works out tomorrow in the selection, one of those teams is going to make a run. They'll make at least the Elite Eight. They just will. It's just naturally going to happen. The question is, can you put your finger on which one you're one or two that you're really looking at to say, watch out, because you're not paying attention, all you SEC Big Ten fans, to the run this team could go on?
Yeah, I think VCU is definitely in that conversation. I mean, they, you know, you start looking at the old VCU teams and the way everybody talks about havoc and the way that they play defense and, you know, the job that Shaka Smart did. This isn't Shaka Smart over there anymore. This isn't Will Wade over there anymore either, by the way. By the way, just to let you know, I'm not saying Elite Eight per se, but I do believe, especially if it's a somewhat favorable to them matchup, that Will Wade could very much lead McNeese State to a win in the NCAA tournament. But VCU adding a little bit more offense, kind of when we were talking about Wisconsin, talking about how much you know them for defense and hard-nosed play, especially in the front court, that is VCU this year, but also adding some of that offense to go along with the defense as well. So they're one. Memphis, I don't think that, maybe not a mid-major, definitely not a mid-major program, but certainly playing in relatively a mid-major, or a high-major rather, type of conference. And they've got some pretty good wins. They've beaten Michigan State earlier this year. They beat a couple other teams as well. They've got a couple losses that's kind of tend to been their identity. Some question marks that we have had over the years about Penny Hardaway, as good of teams as he's had, as good of recruiting classes that he has had in the past brought in, didn't really live up to the expectations, but this year appears to be a little bit different. They haven't really necessarily relied so much on what I call like the Memphis culture. Sometimes I thought that that was the problem a little bit with Memphis, is that they tried to make it known to more so the importance and put emphasis on, when you see Memphis basketball, this is what it looks like. And you'll know that because look at our roster. We got so many Memphis guys, and it was a disciplinary thing from that standpoint for me. But that doesn't appear to be the case on this year. They've got some transfers. They've got some older guys, and they've got some guys that tend to be able to keep their heads cool a little bit more. So I do like Memphis as well. I'll tell you another one that I'm looking at, and I know that, you know, you probably like Liberty, but another one that I've kind of drew some attention to a little bit more so is Grand Canyon. Grand Canyon has been a team that's been really good over the course of the last 2 or 3 years and consistent. They made it to the NCAA tournament on last year. They're another team that I really believe can get a win, led by Tyon Grant Foster, who is not only a senior, he's a little bit of a tweener, 6'7", but playing a little bit above his size as well. And they're very well coached and got a senior-led team. They're one that I'm going to want to keep my eyes on when those brackets are released tomorrow.
Yeah, by the way, I don't necessarily like Liberty. I'm just kind of pointing out that I think that they could possibly be in even if they lose.
Okay.
You know, and I agree. I mean, whether it's High Point or Grand Canyon or, you know, UC San Diego or something like that, there's going to be – there's going to be a team that makes a
somebody
somebody makes a run, then you're going to go, who are these guys? You know, they're the new Loyola Ramblers. Anyway, I got about 90 seconds left, Deshaun, and I do want to touch on the Hawks. 35-8 in the third. What?
Yeah.
What was that last night?
Yeah, that was rough, man. I mean, I think that, you know, the when you start looking at a team that they play with the Clippers, I thought it was already a bad matchup. It was a bad matchup when they played them in L.A., but I remember watching them in L.A., and I said, it won't matter where they played them at. They could play them on the moon, and they're just not even just about roster, but I think they're just constructed better as a basketball team. And, you know, when you start looking at all the things that transpired in the third quarter, the 19, what was, I think it was like a 19-0, well, I guess O is a letter, 19-0 run that the Clippers went on at one point in time and opened up the game on an 11-0 run. I opened up the third quarter on an 11-0 run. That just didn't sit well, and it was a little bit too much for the Hawks to be able to catch up with. So hopefully some things will turn around for them on tomorrow as they visit over in the Big Apple. But it's going to be kind of tough sledding. Trey can't afford to have such games like he had. And it's not just everything's just not on Trey. Even with Dyson Daniels, who we've kind of fallen in love with a little bit on the defensive side of the ball, not bringing as much offense as we had gotten accustomed to. But give Onyeka, I know we're up against it, forgive me, give Onyeka Okongwu his credit. I don't think he was a guy that was prepared and ready all the time for a starting role in the lineup. Give him his credit, because he's been really good ever since being inserted. Thank you, Fricky.
Well, yeah, I'm glad he's living up to that number. What was he, number five, number six pick in the draft? Yeah, about time.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, right, exactly. Hey, I got 30 seconds here. How do you not tomorrow, if Auburn wins the SEC, how do you not give them a number one seed? Regular season champs, tournament champions of the toughest league in America. How are they not number one?
Impossible. I don't think there's anything that can happen. I'm not even sure if anything can happen to where they wouldn't get the overall number one seed if they were to lose today. Forget about tomorrow, today. So they've got the most, you know, quad one wins. I think they're all the way up to about, they're really close to 20. I'll tell you that much if they're not at 20 already. So I think you got to go ahead and give it to them. I don't love them necessarily for the bracket when it comes time to play it, but, you know, so far you can't really, there's not really much that you can do to go against taking them. I get it, Duke, this and that, so on and so forth, but I think that it's Auburn's to pretty much lose, and I don't think they will.
Deshaun, as always, where can the fans, quickly, where can the fans find you?
At Tate's Take Hoops, TateStakeHoops. We call it where basketball lives. Keep your eyes and ears open for some really interesting stuff that's going to be coming really, really soon.
Deshaun Tate, thanks as always. I do appreciate it, my friend.
Appreciate you. Thanks, Ricky.
We went a little long there, but we'll catch up on the clock there. Had a lot to get into with Deshaun Tate. Hope you got a lot of good inside stuff here with all the big games going on today and the conference tournaments ahead of tomorrow. Quick break. Back in a moment on this Saturday morning on Sports Radio 90.9 The Game with John Fricke. Sports Radio 90.9 The Game from the Northern Kia Studios. John Fricke with you on a Saturday morning. Phone number, as always, 404-726-0929. Eric Slaughter is the technical director, executive producer, call screener, and much more. You'd be nice to Eric if you're calling in here to be a guest on the program, because he can cut you off at any time. He can cut me off at any time. I got to be nice to him, too. Well, I generally am, because I like Eric.
You're a great guy, John. You know that. You're my buddy, man. How you feeling?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I mean, all things considered, up here, you know, stuck up here in, I don't say that because people have listened on the Odyssey app, up here in Indiana, you know, taking care of parents, that's what we're doing right now, and you got to do what God calls you to do, and that's what I'm doing. Though I have learned a couple of things being up here in Indiana, I have to say.
What have you learned? Please share.
Because I'm in Bloomington, of all places, you know, and I'm probably about 4 miles from Assembly Hall. Not that you're going to be much more than 4 miles from anywhere. Bloomington is south of Indianapolis, about an hour. It's like Athens. Okay, it's a fairly small town. 150,000 people or so. I'm nice town, really beautiful campus. IU's beautiful campus. Man, these people are insane when it comes to basketball. Oh wow. It's all they talk about. I mean, that football. Did I miss that their football team made the playoffs last year?
Yeah, did they have their best season in God knows how long? And
like,
did the coach not
ever
just get a raise?
Ever.
Yeah. Coach can buy a new house in that pretty town wherever he lives. So.
Yeah, yeah.
He's definitely
no, ever. Yeah, no, I know, but no, it's just, and Mike Woodson being on the way out, and of course now they're all up in arms because they think all the conspiracy theories as soon as it happened when Fran McCaffrey got fired yesterday, because they were, I think, were counting on this Drake coach, Ben McCollum, to be their next head coach. And McCollum, again, is the guy, he won like multiple national titles in Division II at Northwest Missouri State. Had an unbeaten team, I think. Then he, in his first year at Drake, he's won 30 games. Everybody's like, this Ben McCollum is going to be the next superstar head coach. And Indiana's out there flying planes to go pick him up. And they're, oh, Ben McCollum's going to be our guy. But McCollum is an Iowa guy. Born, raised, bred in Iowa. And so Iowa doesn't want to let him go. So what do? They fire Fran McCaffrey at Iowa and say, hey, Ben, your job you've always wanted is open. I know Indiana's not, but you, and now Indiana's like, oh, what are we going to do? That's, wow. And that's all they're talking about. Well, then the second thing I discover here is the wife and I go out to dinner last night with my mother-in-law, and we go to a Chinese place that wasn't very good. So I make a mistake, Eric. I made a huge mistake, and I learned a lesson like I'm never going to learn. I ordered iced tea. I said, can I get some iced tea?
It's a different thing when you leave the South, isn't it?
By different, you mean crap?
I'll be in. Okay, yeah, yeah. It's just not the same.
Yeah, no. Hey, and you say, how can you mess up? I don't know. My answer is, I don't really know, but you can. Because I took like two sips of that and went, Man, do you folks not know how to make iced tea? This is terrible. You know, I mean, and of course, you know, in this day and age, you're paying like $2.99 for, you know, a 5 cents worth of iced tea. She just got water. I mean, it's wasted $3. It's like, what in the world? And I told my wife, just said, take a sip. She goes, yeah, that's not very good. I said to her, have you ever had instant iced tea? You know, have you ever had, you know, the, like Lipton used to make it. It was like instant iced tea. I think you can still find it in the stores. It's powdered iced tea. Have you ever seen this?
No, I have not. I'm glad I haven't.
Yeah. So it's like instant coffee.
Iced tea should be brewed.
Of course. Or sun tea. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You know, sun tea is a lost art for most people. My dad made sun tea all the time. He had a big, like, 2-gallon glass jug. I don't know where he got it. And he would fill that thing up and put about, I don't know, 15 or 20 tea bags and hang them over the edge and then lock the cap and put it out in the porch for about 3 days. And that sun will warm it up. And then you bring it. Man, that stuff was good. Yeah, that old sun tea, you know, that's how you do that. And then I learned a little trick, too, from my dad was a huge tea drinker. But when he moved up to northern Michigan, one of the reasons that we're up here to, you know, help take, he's going to be 90. My dad got, he's just plugging along there, you know. So anyway, sun tea wasn't going to be so much a thing anymore because not as much sun. So he comes up, especially in the wintertime, he comes up with this, you use your coffee maker, right? Okay. And what you do is, if you have like one of the old Brewmaster coffee makers, I'm not talking about one of the ones that's like, you know, where you just put the little dew walker in it. Yeah, I'm talking about when you brew a cup of coffee, when you brew a pot of coffee, coffee maker. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. The old drip. Basket. The old drip, yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You would just take, he would just take like 8 tea bags and put it in the thing where you would put the coffee. You know, you don't have to put a filter in there because they're already in a filter.
Right.
And just let it drip. Just dip and just brew. Yeah. And I went, oh, good.
That's
idea.
Genius. Pops, you're a genius.
And he goes, and then he goes, yeah, and then you just pour it into another thing and then put it in the fridge and let it cool. I was like, oh, okay, there you go.
Genius. Like I said, they're still brewing it. That's what you're doing. Iced tea should be brewed.
You know, so anyway, I ordered this iced tea and it's, I'm pretty sure that it's instant. Because, I mean, I haven't had instant iced tea in a long time. I'm not even sure. I was like, do they even make that anymore? If you've never had instant coffee, which we referred to when I was a kid, it was called Sanka.
Sanka, yep.
Oh, God, is it terrible. Oh, it's like the one thing I can equate it to is when you go in and you order an iced tea and you want some you know, sweetener in it, and people say, you know, what kind of sweetener? And you go, well, I want the yellow. I don't want the pink, you know, and you know, because the pink is sweet and low. And by the way, if you like sweet and low, I mean, God love you. I think it's disgusting.
Okay? And it's not very good for you either.
You know, well, there are a lot of things I do that aren't good for me, so I'm not really worried about that. Sweet and low ain't going to kill me, okay? But it just, I don't like the flavor. But that's because it gives it a weird flavor. But that's instant iced tea compared to regular iced tea. It's got a weird flavor. It's like, okay, this isn't going to work. And then the food wasn't that good. So I gotta rectify that here. But there's a hell of pizza place up here. Oh, man, there's a hell of pizza place here called Mother Bear's. Oh, darn. Eric, their pizza is like great.
Okay, what style of pizza is it? Because I had a big debate on air about the different styles of pizza, and of course, which ones are the best. So what style of pizza is it, John?
Well, they have both. They have New York and Chicago.
Okay.
That's
drastically different.
Yeah. I like both, you know, so it doesn't bother me if I'm doing deep dish or if I'm doing, I'm not really that picky about which style, okay? I know the New Yorkers are like, no, you're gonna have the deep dish in Chicago people are going, yeah, and you gotta have all that good stuff on it, you know. Or Detroit style pizza, for those of you who don't know. Detroit style puts the sauce on the top. Okay, that's Detroit. That's just Detroit. That's what they do. Put the sauce on the top, not the cheese. I know, it's just different. It's Detroit. Gotta roll with it. But that's good too. So why are you picky about which one you get here? I mean,
I'm not picky as long as all of them made well. I mean, the Chicago pizza here, Nancy's Chicago here in Atlanta, ladies and gentlemen, if you've never tried it, it's worth a visit. There's a couple locations. It's absolutely delicious. The problem I have with New York pizza is it's so darn expensive.
Well,
oh, man, just, yeah. You, oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, I've never had Nancy's Chicago. Nancy must make both because I've only had thin Nancy's.
There's a location in Midtown. There's one in Buckhead, and you're starting to see them pop up in suburban Atlanta. Really, really good.
Yeah, no, Nancy's was always really good because I like their sauce. But I got sick of it because that's all they ever ordered in the newsroom at CNN was, I want to get Nancy, 45 Nancy's. CNN would do that all the time.
Wow.
We're getting 45 Nancy's pizzas, but they were never, if somebody at Nancy's saying, we don't make thin pizza, we only make, if you consider what you make deep dish, we got to have a conversation. They ain't deep dish. Okay? What I have with Nancy's, you got to take, like, deep dish is like 3 inches thick, okay? Not an inch and a quarter, 3 inches, okay? That's deep dish, all right? So, anyway, we're off on the subject here. Do want to ask, are you excited? Do you have a college basketball team that you root for?
Absolutely. Theater Turtle, the University of Maryland, baby. Come on, John.
Well, I didn't know if you had more than one.
No. A lot of people don't realize, growing up in Maryland, because college football is non-existent. And in the time that I grew up there, the Ravens didn't exist. So it was Theater Turtle basketball and Theater Turtle lacrosse. Those are the two biggest sports when I was a youth in Maryland. So I still love it. I got to meet Gary Williams on many, many a time. He revitalized the Maryland program after Lefty Giselle left it to burn. And Theater Turtle all the time. When they left, my poor dad, he's lost, you know, I lost him a little while ago, but when Maryland left the ACC for the Big Ten, he just, it broke his heart. No more Maryland Duke, no more Maryland North Carolina, it just broke his heart, so, you know.
Yeah, I know, and Maryland belongs in the ACC, and it's never going to happen again, right? I don't disagree, I'm kind of with you. When I was doing play-by-play in the ACC, Maryland was in the league, and I went to the old, what was it, Cole Fieldhouse,
yes, yeah, big yeah. Hot box.
Yeah, weird stadium, kind of weird layout, like NC State, kind of strange. But anyway, it was loud. That's for sure. But my college football, I root for one school. Okay, I root for the school I went to, University of Nebraska. I root for them, and I know, and trust me, I know. But in college basketball, I root for like 8 teams. I have like 8 schools I root for.
Then you got a good chance of somebody making it to the Final Four.
Well, I did. It happened. happened with San Diego State. Made the championship game
against another one of your teams. Who they play that year?
Well, they played Creighton in the Final Four.
Wow!
And beat them.
Yeah, two mid majors. He's a good coach. What's the old coach from Michigan? He's a really good coach.
You mean Steve Fisher wasn't the coach then? But
he wasn't.
Yeah. No. Okay. Steve retired. Steve retired a long time ago. Okay. Brian Dutcher took over. Gosh, 15 years ago. But Steve, yeah, Coach Fisher, great guy. All right, top of the hour anyway, we're done with this. All right, I'm going to lay out the program again. I got questions about Selection Sunday, about the Falcons, and more. We'll do that next on Sports Radio 92 on the Game.